Hi, my name is Bernie. I am the pastor of what we call the Young Working. And if you ask me, what is the Young Working? It's anyone that can be single or married, doesn't have children, and under the age of 60. All right? So that should be most of you. And it's a great privilege to come and break open the Word this evening. And we're doing a sermon series called the Welcome Home Series. We do it every year. It's now the third year, I think, that we're doing it, where we just speak about, we take a moment to tell you, who are we? What do we stand for? Now, hopefully we'll stand for truth and for Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. Hopefully that would be the bare basics. But what do we as Shofar, as a movement, stand for? And that you'll hear throughout the year. And in February, we're going to be speaking a bit about that. God has given us a word for the year as a Shofar movement. And the word is being one. And in February, we're going to be preaching through that and working through what does it mean to be one. But then what is Shofar Cape Town? What makes us different than other Shofars? What is the mandate that God's given us? And so we'll be working through that for last week, this week, and next week. And this week, oh my goodness, hold on. Sorry, I need to log in here. Security's tight. What is my password? Someone remind me to put in a shorter password. Okay. We stand for three major things. Tien's touched on it last week. We stand for social justice. You'll see that a lot of people in this church has an incredible heart for social justice. And all that goes with that. Another thing that we stand for is prophetic urgency. And not to be blasé about the things that's happening around us. But to have that urgency of the Lord when things are happening and when things we're going through. And then thirdly, leadership development. God has given us incredibly young people like yourselves that are go-getters. And we honor that call. And myself, in those three things, I'm not very good with the leadership development. That's Tien's. You have a conversation with him once, you realize this man thinks high level. All right? Me, I'm done here. So God's given me incredible heart for social justice. For those of you who don't know, I started as a youth pastor in Shofar Stellenbosch, then went into the NGO world for a few years, then started an NGO called the Relief Life. We do disaster management, and now back in ministry and back in the pulpit. So I have a great heart for social justice and obviously prophetic urgency. For what is God saying to us and what must we do? So I have a great heart for intercession, just on a personal level. And I see myself as a watchman on the walls. And go read in scripture about watchmen on the walls, what they did, the role. And that's what I believe the calling of my life is to pray. And I believe that's most of our callings, to pray. We need to all pray. But I really enjoy interceding God's will. Now, every December, I love Decembers. I know we all love Decembers. Okay, unless you're working. I don't know if you've noticed. Everyone loves Decembers except for if you work. Then it's the worst month in the year. I remember I once did... I was in high school and I was a, what do you call it? No, oh my goodness. Did you not hear? I'm not a leader. I don't lead a thing. Okay. When I stood, wanted to stand for anything, I said, Bernie, we don't think so, brother. I was a little too naughty for stuff like that. I was just doing waitering work. I was doing waitering work in December. This is a humbling sermon. And I hated the December because I worked in December and everyone has been fun and stuff. I was making good bucks, but that's it. But I really like Decembers because it's a time where I'm able to switch off and become still. Isn't that so? And it's amazing when you switch off that you can hear the Lord. Hey? You start meditating on how great or how horrible the year was, what God did. And the next thing, God just starts talking. So for December, I was journaling a few things that the Lord was saying. So this sermon comes from what I felt the Lord said. is for us. The prophetic word for us for 2017 as Shofar Cape Town. Right. So you can buckle yourself in. Get ready for a good ride. Because we're going to discuss what is going to happen this year. Is that okay? Then at the end of the year, we can discuss if it happened or not. Is that good? All right, December, we'll all sit on the beach together, and then we'll have a good chat there in Camps Bay. Right, let's move on to the next slide. I entitled the sermon, The Bronze Bow. My subtitle there is, He Trains Our Hands. Now, I know all of you are working crazy hard, and can I ask that you take some time out, not like you'd ever do this at work, and put on YouTube, all right? Google YouTube. If you don't know what YouTube is, welcome. And Google Larson, and you can put down arrows, bows, whatever. Now, this guy is a guy that is pretty much a ninja of the day. And what he did was, he went and did research into ancient warfare, and especially with a bow, and he started using a bow. This guy can shoot a bow like only Rambo could do. You remember Rambo back in the day? But this guy shoots it like it's an AK-47. He just takes like five arrows at a time, and shoots them. Go do yourself a favor, Larson. All right, I know none of you have time at work, but if you do, Larson. But before I talk any more rubbish, we're going to get into Scripture. And before we do that, I'd just like to pray one more time, if that's right. Father, we just come and submit our spirits, our minds, our bodies, our souls, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll come and minister to us, each one of us. I pray, Lord, that you will come and break open the Scripture for what you have for us for 2017. Thank you, Lord, that you are outside of time. Thank you that you can look into time and into 2017 and all that needs to happen in our lives this year. And that you complete the good work that you start in this year will come to completion. Holy Spirit, we come and partner with you in this year. We say, not our lives, not our will, but your will be done in our lives. And all the saints said, Amen. So let's jump into Scripture. Scripture speaks a lot about bows and arrows. Did you know that? Three of you knew that. All right. Hi, guys. My name's Bernie. This is a Bible. Please get one. Old Testament. Lots of bows and arrows. Go read it. 2 Samuel 22. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. I'm going to read it. David sang it. I can ask Daniel's son to come sing it if you guys want. But okay. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hands of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. And he said, all right, so now the beat starts. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. We actually sang the song this morning. Ironically, I didn't speak to the band. We actually sang the song. Alice, what's the song's name? You Make Me Glad. We don't know why I called it that song. But it's actually the song we sang. And I didn't even tell them we were going to read the Scripture. Isn't God good? Amen. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. There's a sermon right there. But we're not going to focus on that tonight. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now here's a little nugget. When Scripture says something, the Word of God says something, please take it serious. When the Word of God says it twice, please take it very serious. This song is written twice in Scripture. It's Psalm 18. There's something very powerful, and we don't have the time to work through the entire psalm. But please take the time this week to go work through this if you want to know what God's saying to us. Moving to the bottom, verse 31. As for God, His ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Amen. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power. He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on the high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And that's the word for the year. Thanks very much for coming. God bless. I'm joking. We're this evening going to focus on that one last little verse. And we're going to break it up. Is that all right? Can we break up scripture a little bit? Is everyone into this? Anyone excited? Anyone got this word this year so far? I'm on my ace. All right, guys. The first word there is... Okay, now, like I said to the morning crowd, they all have kids, so they got this really fast. Okay? We are the children of the Lord, so I need us to work together here. All right, kids? Amen? All right? So, as children of the Lord, amen? Who? I've got a 40%. He. Who's he? Awesome. What is God doing? Another word that we can put there is train or training. God is busy training us. What is he training? My hands. To do what? So that my arms can bend a bow. Can we move to the next slide? There are three types of bows. I spent this last 2 weeks just doing research on bows. Okay? And there are three types of bows. As you can see, the long bow was used in ancient warfare, not that old, more in the time of the knights and the British, sort of the 14th century, a bow was used. It's a bit of a misrepresentation. The long bow is a lot longer than the other two bows. A long bow would be up to 2 meters high. Yeah, did you know that? That's taller than me, obviously. Somewhere, I'm short. A longbow was used in warfare where when your cavalry would go forward, the longbowmen would stand behind. And the longbowmen would launch these arrows 100 meter odd and further forward for the cavalry that's coming. Now, that's the longbow. The recurve, very interesting how the recurve works. Do you see the bend in the recurve? Do you see how it bends? Now, if you were to take that string and cut it, it would literally bend the other way. That's how far they bent that over. That actually bends to the other side. So a lot of tension would go into that bow. The recurve bow would be more what we saw David them use in Scripture, most possibly. It was used for closer combat. And then today's bow, we see a compound bow. A little different, obviously, technology stepped into the bow. Now, if anyone has been in any of my sermons, you guys know that I love warfare. And I love getting practical, right? So for 2 years running, I've been pulling out my samurai sword. Unfortunately, tonight, there's no samurai sword. Oh. But the good news is, I brought a bow. This is a compound bow. It's not mine. It might be mine afterwards, but All right. So this is a typical bow. And if you see, if I was to pull back, unfortunately it's got a more of a pulley system, but you'll see that there'll become a lot of tension on the bow. So this is, for those of you that know John Foster, this is John Foster's wife's bow. I didn't get the joke. This is Jess's bow. And Jess and John both shoot with a bow. And what I found really interesting was, when I pulled back on this bow, can I pull it back? Can I, you all want to see? Should I put an arrow in? Does anyone have an apple? Apple? Any man or woman of faith in the house? Apple? Anyone? As you can see, it's pretty easy to pull back this bow, right? I didn't really struggle. It didn't take much force. I pulled it back pretty simply. And I started that. I spent Saturday morning with John and Jess, and I was asking him 1,000 questions of bows. And if you ever want to know anything about a bow, go speak to John. It's incredible what he knows about bows. His whole family actually were archers back in the day. He comes from a legacy of archers. And then once I pulled this back and played with this bow, it was really incredible. It was a lot of fun. But then John pulled out his bow, which I did not bring this evening. Now, his bow is slightly bigger, a lot cooler, and it's got a few more functions. And I took the bow, and then he says, right, Bernie, try this one. I couldn't pull the string back. There was so much tension that I had to put into that string that I just said, okay, now I'm good. I'll take this bow. I'll demonstrate with this one. You see, they've dug up people's, skeletons, where they found misformed shoulders, where shoulders were out of ligament, where spines had actually gone skew from those that were archers. We see something similar with the American footballer or a baseball pitcher. See, to pull back that longbow is the same as picking up 82 kilograms. The same tension. 82 kilograms, 180 pounds, just to pull back a longbow. So we go back to that scripture and we look that the Lord trains us. Can we go on back? The Lord trains us so we can bend a bow of bronze. Now, Bernie, how does that work? That's a good question. Thanks for asking that. You see, there's no ways. I went into the original Hebrew to try and find out what is a bronze bow, because it doesn't make sense. Bronze don't bend. All right? Anyone that understands, where's the engineers in the house? Bronze don't bend so great. Okay, you're not going to get the flex. And what we see here is that the Lord's speaking more of a strength than he is of an actual bronze bow. And what is the word that we see there? He teaches, he trains. Now I need to interrupt myself. You saw that video clip that we were showing. The kids were all singing the song. You know what song they're singing? Read your Bible. Three of us know it. There we go. For the Afrikaans people, Lees jou Bybel. Lot to be said about that. Now, here's the problem with this. We'll get to the problem with that. Because there's nothing wrong with that in itself, but there's something missing. Now, you know how we look at David's life? David, we say, right, David is the guy that took out, yes, the big Nephilim. It's a giant that were called and known as Nephilim. So he took out this amazing Nephilim. Here's the problem about that, guys. That was not the end of his ministry. That was the... Do I need to say that again? That's where his ministry started. Most of us are looking towards the Goliath as if it's the pinnacle, it's the top of the mountain. That's the bottom of the mountain. It's after that he took out all of this that the Lord starts saying, you need training. I'm going to train you. You see, you are not able to take a bow that needs 82 kilograms of pressure. Just pull that thing back and think you're going to shoot an arrow. You're going to break your arm. So who's the he in our story today? Who's teaching us? It's the Holy Spirit that's teaching us. It's not enough to read your Bible and pray every day. For a kid that's 2 years old, yes. You need a coach that can break open the Word of God for you. We need the Holy Spirit to break open the Word of God. So what's the word that the Lord's giving us this year? This year is going to be the year of faith. And we'll get back to how the war fits in. But let's move on in Scripture. And let's look at Mark 10. A beautiful, beautiful piece of Scripture. Taking it out of the NIV. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Stop right there before we move on. So a few things I want us to know about this man. What's this man's name? No. His name is Son of Timaeus. He doesn't have a name. He's not important enough to have a name. He's a beggar. He's a nobody. Let's move on. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." To Jesus, this man is not a nobody. Jesus stopped and called him. So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," says Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Why did Jesus say to this man in this particular situation, "Your faith has healed you"? It's in green. Throwing his cloak aside. Okay, you're all a little bit bewildered. Let's catch up. So how it worked back in those days is the clothes you wore spoke about who you are. If someone wears a tuxedo, what does that say about them? They're going to something smart, right? You don't wear a tuxedo to church. You don't wear a tuxedo at home while you're watching a movie. Are you with me? All right. For those of you that's more in the high corporate, not engineers, because you guys, I don't know what on earth you guys wear. It's just weird. But if you're in corporate, you wear a suit, right, and a tie. I love Thursday's intercession. I love, where's Johan now? I love watching Johan when he comes in. He comes suit and tie. That's how he comes to pray. We pray before work, so suit and tie. Say something about the role he plays, the job he has. He's a lawyer. You have to wear a suit and tie as a lawyer. You look at Chad's always wearing short pants and pluckies when he comes to intercession. He's a creative. He has to be creative. The clothes you wore said who you were. If you were someone that had leprosy, you had to have a bowl and you had to have leper's clothes on. And yet this man does an incredible thing of faith. He doesn't wait for Jesus to heal him and then throw down his cloak. He looks and he throws down his cloak and then he comes to Jesus. This man is a man of faith. I've got a clip. Can we show that clip in the background? You can watch the clip while I speak. There's this guy who bought a car with 500,000 pieces of Lego. How cool is that? This car works on air, apparently. I don't know how that works. But this is a real car that works. It's made out of Lego. And it runs on air, as you can see, as I let the clip show. Once the clip's finished, can we just leave it on the picture of the car? Now, I love Lego. Who loves Lego? Who doesn't love Lego? Lego is awesome. So part of my second practical... Okay, we can finish the clip because I need everyone to focus. This is an important point. Oh, there it is. You know what's really exciting about Lego? For those of you that are multi-billionaires and can afford Lego. You know when you grab that box? Hey? You're all excited. I've got the Millennium Falcon. I've got a fire truck. Millennium Falcon, Star Wars. Don't watch it. And you open up this bag. Can you imagine? Okay, you've got the box, 500,000 pieces. The box shows you. And you open that bag. And we had to throw all that Lego parts out here. Can you imagine with me? Chad's there. Chad's not struggling. If you're an accountant, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But here's the problem, right? I look and I've got all these pieces of Lego. And God, hold on. You promised me that my life is going to be like that. That's what the box says. I'm going to have a family. But I don't see a family here. I'm going to have godly kids. I don't see no godly kids here. I'm going to have a great job. I don't see it, Jim. I see all these pieces. Lord, you promised me healing. I'm going to be healed. But I don't see the healing. And we look at the pieces. And that's where faith starts stepping in. Now, what's the great thing of a Lego box? It's got a manual. Huh? A manual. A step-for-step manual. But once again, this is a complicated. I don't know if the manual is going to get me through there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not an engineer. This one's going to struggle. I need a coach. That's going to coach me through it. That's going to show me how it works. And the Holy Spirit must come and help me work through the manual. So that I can understand that I need to take this piece and put this piece, and this piece on this piece like this, and this piece on like this, and I'm going to build this. Are you with me tonight? This year is a year of faith. Can I have one lady that has the gift of faith? Can I have a woman of faith up in front? Thank you, Ziggy. Amen. Well, you know, I hope this doesn't backfire. All right. All right. Ziggy, I need you to do 6 bicep curls. It's basically just pick it up like this. 6, please. That's not 1. 6. No, that's not it. Ziggy, aren't you a woman of faith? Hold on. Stand there. Here we go. No. You can give it to me. Ziggy, here's the Bible. Maybe you read the Bible, you can pick it up. Okay, she's got there. Let me just read you. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen, sister, let's do it. Okay, whoa. We're missing an ingredient here. No. Before we get there, we need to pray. All right, so I want you can command it to just rise up. You know, just say in the name of Jesus. I'm sure it'll work. All right, go for it. Okay, not enough faith. Thanks, Vicky. To each one of us, a measure of faith is given. But here's the secret of faith. Now, I don't want to knock anyone. Please hear where I'm coming from. But most of the time, we're faced with this scenario in life. This scenario is, I'm suddenly sick. A friend of mine is suddenly sick. Somebody died. And we expect to, because we have some mystical faith, be able to do this. But we've never moved in faith. Now, faith, let me help you, works like a muscle. The only way you're going to pick this up is by training and going to the gym and picking it up every day. Ziggy? 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 Is there any guy that want to try this on? Not even. I asked the lady specifically because it could just be that I was worried that the guy was never going to find a wife. You know what I'm saying? Got to be careful. Faith is a muscle. There are always times because God is not limited by our faith. Just I need to say that too. I've prayed for people when I had no faith. And God healed. But what we need to learn is to grow in faith. See, Hebrews says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I cannot grab a bow and think that I'm just going to shoot the target and get it right every time. I have to train. when I grabbed John's bow and I couldn't put it back, I could see I'm going to have to train so that I can extend my arm to handle the tension so I can release the arrow. If no one told you this, let me tell you this now. Can we move to, does your life speak about faith? Faith is a lifestyle, guys, not a magic trick. I've got 1,000 testimonies of faith, and I'm going to share one that's not my own. I spoke to someone here in the congregation about 2 weeks ago. And this person was telling me that that picture, can we go back to the Lego picture? That picture, what the Lord had promised this person. And the promise to that person was that God's going to give that person godly offspring, godly children, godly family. But here's the challenge of that. This person is not even dating yet. And it's so hard for this person to believe it, this testimony, that they said, Bernie, I'm standing in faith. And I thought, that's awesome. You know, like a pastor, I'm standing in faith with you too. I'll pray for you. No. Let me tell you how I'm standing in faith. This person opened 2 bank accounts. The first bank account is for the honeymoon. The second bank account is for the children's education. And I was gobsmacked. Because that's faith. Seeing something it isn't, but believing as if it is. Making a goal and saying, Lord, I go for this. Now hear me carefully. This needs to be done under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. A lot of us are praying things that are so ungodly, it's even scary. But you need to take the parts that God's given you, and you've got to trust and take that step of obedience. You need to throw down that cloak and say that I am healed. Here's the shocker, guys. If you're a Christian, you're at war. Did you know that? For those of you that got suckered into Christianity, you weren't told that, I'm really sorry. That's a serious one. If someone told you you're going to have health, wealth, prosperity, and Jesus, I'm sorry. If you're in this church, you are most assuredly in war. Okay, so what's the war? What's the battle? The battle is prophetic urgency, social justice. At the moment, we're experiencing in the Western Cape, for the 5 of you that don't know, a drought. We don't have water. We don't have enough water. Read in the newspaper yesterday that 65% of the water in the Western Cape is being used by 20,000 people. Is that shocking? I don't know what they're doing with that water, but they're using it. They went to a guy in Stellenbosch the other day, the municipality, And this person was using excessive amounts of water. And they went to this person and said, listen, you can't use so much water. Do you know what this guy's answer was? Can I share? Just fine me. As long as there's water, I'm going to use it. This guy's got to go to a big garden. Or whatever. I don't know. Maybe he's thirsty. That's the mentality of people today. It's an entitlement. There's something wrong with that. And we as Christians need to make a stand and say, that's not right. That's not how we go about life. We care about each other. We need to stand for truth. You know where your war is at? You know where you need to grab this bow? I need you to grab this bow every morning before you go to work. Because you are fighting for people's souls. Shofar has an interesting anointing. We have an incredible amount of people that work at Checkers. Does anyone know that? An astronomical amount of people that work at Checkers. About 2 years ago, we had, I don't know how many consultants working at Pick and Pay. Food security. In a few years, we're not going to have enough food. God is raising up leaders in this church to do farming. And to get involved in mass farming. Because there's a need. God is giving you a weapon. And He's calling you in your workplace. But most of us have forgotten. And we've put down our weapon. We've moved away from the calling that God's given us. We've forgotten why we're where we're at. Why am I working here? As soon as it gets tough, we forget. As soon as someone else gets the job promotion, we don't, we forget. As soon as our lifestyle becomes too big, we forget. God's called us to faith. Francis Chan says the most interesting thing. They had an interview with him and they asked him, what is your biggest concern for the church of today? Now, if I guess him right, he's in his 40s. Probably a little later 40s. He's one of those Asian gentlemen, so he could be 70 and just look amazing. You know, Asians have had that gift. But part of what he was saying is, and I'll put it in context now, not only are we missing out on life, but we are turning away our children by the droves because our lives are not the adventure they see in Scripture. And they're not experiencing the Holy Spirit. What they're experiencing instead is a Christian version of the American dream. Health, wealth, prosperity, and Jesus. You see, as soon as you get married, for those of you that aren't married yet, things start changing because now you've got to provide for your family. And we naturally head towards that bubble of protection. Now that bubble of protection is the opposite of faith. And what Francis is seeing is the generation that is now leaving school do not want to serve the Jesus that we speak about. Because the Jesus we speak about is read your Bible, pray every day. But that's as far as we've taken it. Because we've not shown them faith, we've not moved in miracles, we've not serving the God that they read in Scripture, and they see us as hypocrites. Because we've decided that I want life easy, I want it easier. Do you know when you leave your job for a new job? Can I tell you when you do that? When God says so. Do you know when you move house? When God says so. So interesting. Being a pastor, how many people come to me? And how many people come and tell me, Bernie, God's calling me to move? Because the God card is amazing. People love using the God card. Here's the problem. You use the God card, I am going to test that spirit. Scripture teaches me to do that. Test all things. And for some people, I can see it, right? It's there. I mean, it's written all over in the heavenly realms. You can see this is of God. It's the opportunity of God. Yes, brother, you need to go into that crazy country and go do that crazy thing. And that's awesome. And God's called you. And it's amazing. For others, it's got a bit of a different taste. It's got a bit of a, I think you're just leaving because it's hard. I think you're just leaving because you can. Is there confirmation? Who did you pray with? Most people come to us as the ministry the ministry staff, and they say, "Please pray, please pray. I'm praying for my wife," and then we pray with them for their wife. And then, "Please pray, I need this breakthrough." We pray for breakthroughs, and they do the same as they do with the boss. On the 31st of December, they hand in the resignation, so they have that 1 month gap, and then they go. And it's interesting how people ask you to pray for everything except for, "I really feel God says I need to move. Can I pray with you? Can we be accountable? Can we have confirmation?" If it's of God, there will be confirmation. Did you know that? Let me help you. This is a good God. God ain't going to throw you under the bus. There will be confirmation. There will be a witness in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will say, "Yes, this is of me. Go." The Lord sends you. And we're able to pray with you and send you with that mandate to where God's called you to go. Because we can do it in faith. Faith. If you speak to any of the intercessors, they're all on a bit of a spiritual high. You've got to excuse them. So they're acting weird. Let me explain why. So Tuesday morning, the Lord says to me, "Bernie, I need you to pray Thursday morning for rain." Like a man of faith that I am, I grab out my cell phone and I go look on the app. Is it actually going to rain anywhere in the next 3 weeks? And there's no rain. A lot of wind, no rain. So I say, "Okay, Lord, we're going to pray Thursday morning for rain." And so I don't tell anyone. We all arrive here, and we sit here, we pray. If you want to build your muscle, if you want to become a man of faith, please be here. Yes, this is getting heavy. Thursday. Thursday morning, 6 o'clock. We will train together. Whole lot of CrossFit next level. So I say, "Guys, we're going to pray for rain." And everyone's crazy excited. So I said, "Look, so what we're going to do is we're going to start in repentance." What's a good place to start? We're going to repent on behalf of the Western Cape because of the snotty attitude that we have towards the water and this entitlement. And once we've repented, we're then going to pray a prayer of mercy. We're going to ask God, like that man did, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And after we're doing that, we're going to command rain to come. You know what I said? Not ask, command. And so, like good intercessors, we choy milis. We go for it. We're excited and we're amped. 4 or 5 of them are really looking at this story of war, you know. And I'm in it. And we're all rainmakers, let me tell you. We're praying and warfaring in the Spirit. And like good intercessors, the session ends and we all walk out, and the first thing that everyone does is that was nuts. Open skies. Thursday night, it's pouring down with rain. Heard of some of the farmers that were saying how much rain actually fell over Thursday night alone. Really incredible amount of rain. Now, let me help you there. That's a miracle. I don't know. You're all looking a bit blank at me. That's a miracle of God. Okay, Bernie, are you saying that because of your prayer and your little team of intercessors, it rained Thursday? Yes, no. Yes, we prayed. I promise you we weren't the only people praying. We're not that special. So I'm telling you now, God had got all his intercessors together on Thursday morning and said, now you pray. So either you step in faith and do as God says, throw down that cloak and hoi milis, or you leave it. Welcome to 2017, the year of faith. God, let me just give you a little warning of the Lord. God is going to deep end you nasty, and it's going to be awesome. Don't be scared. It's not like he's going to throw you under the bus. I told you, God, don't do throwing under the buses. I had a meeting with a girl this morning who God is sending somewhere else. She's leaving to Stellenbosch, and I was listening to her testimony. It's just of God. It's just snacks of God, taste of God. It's beautiful. And she says she's in this interview. She's just finished the articles, and she's been doing said Anshu Kudun for Vak. She went all over, and these people in Stellenbosch said they want to see her, and they asked all these questions and stuff. And so finally they ask her something in the line of, what do you believe in? What is your call you? What is it? And now she's having a bokeh in the headlight moment. If I mention the name of Jesus, I'm probably not going to get this job. They're going to think I'm a nut, freako, weirdo. But if I don't, I'm denying Christ. So she goes, this is real, okay? This is real. Is this real for anyone? Because this is real. None of this, okay? No money, no eat, okay? No food. And she just goes for it. And she says, I am a child of God. I serve Jesus. And everything I do is of Jesus. So I come with Jesus. So the interview ends and she climbs in the car and she drives off. And they phone her and they say, please, you've got the job. She threw off her cloak and said, whether these people accept or not accept me, I'm a child of the living King. We're about to move in supernatural faith. Now, for those of you, a lot of you, that have not written in for small group, a lot of you, it starts Wednesday night. A lot of you. If you don't, for those of you that doesn't know how our small group works, a bit different, we do short courses. If you write in or don't write in, it's not the end of the world. Please be here Wednesday night. All right? Is that okay? Please just come. If you don't know when to come, just come straight off to work and stand at the door and wait until the doors open. All right? For the rest of you, it starts at 6:30. Because we're going to work through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to work through, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? How do I move without sort of presumption? How do I prophesy? How do I get a word of knowledge? What is a word of knowledge? What is a word of wisdom? How does speaking in tongues work? You need this, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, so you can move in this. Jules, how am I doing on time? Do I still have an hour? Jules said no. Okay. All right. How do you measure your life? That wasn't supposed to be. That's well done. You're too fast for me, projector person. A few years ago, I asked a pastor, I was the youth pastor in Stellenbosch, Shofar, asked him, how do you measure if you had a successful year? As the incredible spiritual man of God, he said, I don't know. He said, that's a difficult one. I got the answer this week. It's about 10 years later. Don't think you're better than you really are. Don't you love that? It's Romans 12. It's beautiful. Okay? Right there. I know you think you're awesome. You're not. Okay? That's what it actually says there. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. I know you think you're awesome, but you're definitely not. Measuring yourself by what? By faith. You want to know if you're successful in life? It's not by your car, your money, your position, your title, your studies, your wife, your family, your spouse, your children. None of that is the measure. It's only by faith that we can please God. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. John not only does he do shooting at objects, but he told me he does hunting too. He hunts with his bow. Hi, my name's Bernie. My birthday's in April. I would love to have an arrow. Okay, you don't have to buy the bow. Most of us can't afford that bow, but the arrow would be awesome. So there's a memento. I'll put it there next to my samurai sword. You'll note that looks like a bullet. John says that 70 meters he's able to take out an animal and kill it. Great biltong. 70 meters. Anything further than 70 meters, it gets a bit dodge with a compound bow. Do you know what the definition of sin is? Anyone? Anyone that's done Bible school? This is part of Bible school. You'll learn this in Bible school. Please do Bible. Thank you for those that said it. It's missing the mark. It's missing the mark. God is putting arrows and bows in your hand for the kingdom of God to come in this lifetime, in this generation, in this year, in your family, at your work, with your neighbors, with your friends. I'm having the most interesting spiritual time I've ever had. Well, not ever had, in a long time I've had. It is wacko crazy. If you want to have a very interesting Saturday night, you're a bit bored, please come and visit me. I'm seeing some weird and wacko wonderful things. But I'm so excited about it. Because it's building my faith. It's giving me opportunities to pray for rain and it rains. How awesome is that? Opportunities to get a word of prophecy. To pray a prayer of deliverance. To mourn over the things that the Lord mourns over. And to rejoice over the things that the Lord rejoices over. What an honor it is to move in faith and partner with God. We're going to do communion together. Can I ask that we get the elements? We're going to start handing out the elements along. Can we go back to the few more slides, sorry, before we do that? Please focus on me. Focus up here in front. You see, there's a few myths we need to take on. Having confidence is not sin. Do I need to say that again? Having boldness and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ when He's spoken is not sin. Exercising faith is not presumption. See, I had to choose on Tuesday, am I presuming that God is saying this or is God saying this? Is God saying we must pray for rain or not? Standing on God's promises when others flee is not foolishness. You know, most of us, before we see that breakthrough, you know what happens? We give up. Just before the breakthrough comes, we give up. And another thing that is important to know, it is possible to know the will of God. Scripture says that God does not do anything without telling His servants. If you are a servant of God, you can hear God's voice. Christ says, "My sheep know my voice." If you are a sheep of the living God, you know His voice. Confidence in itself is not a sin. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about a humility. It is humbling when God says something and you have to do it. It's humbling when you go before the intercessors and say, "Guys, God says we must pray for rain." As an archer, you need to be confident that you'll hit your mark. Why is God giving us the gift of faith? Why is He this year saying, "I'm going to supernaturally boost you up"? So I did CrossFit last year, and so when I started deadlifting. For you that don't know what a deadlift, a squat, you squat down and you put on your shoulders certain amount of kilograms. And they told me I'm going to be able to squat 100 kilograms. I started at 60. And I don't know if you've ever been in CrossFit. They're not normal human beings. Okay? They scream and shout and do weird things. They're scary people. And the next thing is, they've got 105 kgs on this bench, on this rack in front of me, and they go, "Bernie, you can do it." Okay. Come on, man. And you're like, okay. Please don't die. If you fall, let it fall back. It's got to fall back. And it's like the Holy Spirit's there in that room with you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He just says, "You can do it." Man, I picked up that thing and I was like Superman. I was like, "Bring it. 200 kilograms. Bring it." Within a month or two, and I was already picking up 100 kilograms. That's how this year is going to be. The Lord's going to lift our faith to a higher level than it's been, and it's going to stay there. You're going to be able to pick up that weight. Why? Here's the curveball. 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal." Can I ask that the band also comes up if you guys bring your elements with you? "If I have the gift of prophecy and can tell all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith, I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor, give up my body, all those crazy things, but I don't have love, I gain nothing." The warfare we find ourselves in, ladies and gentlemen, is the warfare for people's souls. The reason God gives us faith is so that we can pierce through the walls that put in front of their hearts. And that we can bring the truth of Jesus Christ straight into the heart. The Lord this year will cause your hand, by the way, He teaches you to take that bow, be accurate at whatever distance, have that word of God, and it will slingshot straight through. Be it through prophecy, be it through whatever way, if we have love. See, Moses brought us a whole lot of laws, right? And then some of the prophets started whittling it down and got whittled down and whittled down. And then Jesus came. And He whittled down the law to two. One, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your intellect. And two, love your neighbor as you love yourself. On this, the entire law hangs. It's because our Savior died on the cross that you are sitting here tonight. Because He took your iniquities and your sins upon Himself. But that does not stop in this room. That's the beginning, not the end. Go read the story of David's life. He did amazing, scary things. Wiped out nations. The harvest is ready. People's lives on the balance. And you have that bow and arrow. You have the answer. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. To bring truth in every circumstance, in every situation. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank You for Your blood and Your body that was bruised and battered on the cross for us. Jesus, we thank You that You gave us Your word. And that Your word became flesh, and that You dwelt amongst us, and that it is complete. And thank You that You left us the Holy Spirit to understand it, to walk in the revelation of Christ, to have Christ, moving Christ. Jesus, it's all about You. And Lord, we declare that it was not someone 2,000 years ago that put You on a cross. It was Me. I took that nail and I drove it through Your hand. I took Your garments and tore it up. We took that cross and nailed You to it. We took the thorns and we put it in Your head. And yet You loved us. And yet You looked through outside of time and You said, "Forgive them, for they know not what we do." And because of Your sacrifice, we will live in glory forever with You. We declare, Lord, that those that are forgiven much love much. And Lord, we've been forgiven eternal damnation. We've been forgiven putting You on the cross. We've been forgiven every sin. We thank You for Your blood.
flowed for us. We thank you for your body that was broken. Can you take a minute and just by yourself, when you're ready, just pray, and then on your by yourself, just take that representation of the bread, representing God's the body of Christ, and the wine or the juice that represents the blood of Jesus. If you're done, can I ask that you send your glasses to the left or to the right and be collected? What's going to happen now is that we're going to worship together, and then we're going to see where the Lord takes us from there. We're not quite done yet, and it's a long service. I thank you for your time. I think we need to really just focus and get this in our spirits and allow the Lord to come and move and do something inside of our hearts so we can pick up that burden of the Lord. Is that good? Is that alright? Can I ask for another 5 minutes? Thank you. This is also the space where we really get hurt. Where I just heard as we're singing, our Lord just spoke clearly to me. He says, but there's many of us that's saying, and you're just saying, Vinny, the problem is, I tried that, I did that, I stood in faith. I stood in faith that this person would be healed and didn't happen. I stood in faith for this person to get a breakthrough and they didn't. And this evening, if your faith has been hampered, we're going to pray for you. And I want you to come, we're going to worship again. I want you to come to my right and we're going to pray on that side. All right, you don't have to come stand in the spotlight. We're going to pray there. The Lord comes and builds that faith again. I need you to understand something. Smith Wigglesworth, when I asked him, how is it that you been able to raise so many people from the dead? His answer was, well, if you've prayed for as many dead people as I have, you'd have at least one person stand up. Mike Bickle carries the same kind of testimony when they asked him, Mike, you've got such an amazing healing ministry. He says, do you know how many times I failed to heal? As I stand before you as a person, I'm trusting God in my own life for still healings. High blood pressure, cholesterol. I have inherent both of those. But every year when I go to the doctor to have my checkup,
and he says, no, you still have it. That doesn't stop my faith. It just means it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't. What's happened in heaven has not been released on earth yet. That abundant rain hasn't fallen yet. But I don't start going, but Lord, obviously your heart's not for my healing. Because God is God. He's not a man that he should lie. He said all iniquity was taken up. I don't know why some people get healed and others don't. I don't. Not God. He does. I don't know why for Johnny here it happens immediate and for so and so it happens 20 years later. I don't know. But I know that God is good and faithful. I know that He completes every good work He starts. So if you're that person where I'd love to put up my faith, I'd love to throw down my cloak. Promise, I've thrown it down so many times. We're going to pray together. And practically how we're going to go about this is we're going to start moving in faith together. So on Wednesdays, we're making a safe space here so we can move together. So when I miss it, it's okay. You can get it right. It's fine. You can see healing. It's fine. But we're getting there together. We walk this together. We're a family. We go through it as a family. So as we sing that song again and as we worship again, can I ask if you struggle in faith, you're broken in that place, we're going to pray. Can I ask that some of the intercessors, some of the small group leaders and leaders in the church will come and pray with you and put our faith together.